Welcome to the Space Show, Malcolm.
I'm glad to be with you, Andrew.
When did you become involved with the European Launch Development Organization?
I was there in the beginning of the program in Woomera, which was in 1964, I believe, and it went through until I left Woomera in January of 1968 to go to the ODO headquarters in Paris. So that was the end of my direct link with the operation at Woomera. But I was there for 4 years, and I helped integrate a lot of the program work during that time.
And what was your role with ODO?
I was with Weapons Research Establishment, which is the Australian government organization based in Adelaide, and we're providing test integration support for ODO, as well as other programs at the Woomera range. We provided a general range coordination support service, Weapons Research Establishment.
Now, as I say, you were working with the Weapons Research Establishment. What was some of the work you were doing with them?
I was working on a number of things. One of the things that I was heavily involved in was a remote pilotless vehicle target aircraft for the Navy. And we're doing tests at Woomera for that as well as testing off the coast of New South Wales. So I was heavily involved in Tirana, which was another program. And then, of course, later on we got involved with RESAT, which was the first Australian satellite to be launched, and that was launched by a Redstone rocket that we got from the Americans. And made Australia the third country after Russia and the U.S. to launch its own satellite. So I got involved in that, too.
And what were you doing with the RESAT program?
I was once again in test integration, providing a lot of range coordination work, making sure that the customer was getting his services at the Woomera range, and coordinating by travel and by phone. And you got to remember, a lot of this was done before the days of computer, Andrew, so a lot of this was phone calls and personal visits.
And you would have been based at Salisbury?
Salisbury, exactly. That's where the headquarters still are, I believe, WRE, yeah.
Of course, that name would be quite familiar to you, because I understand you were born here in Australia?
I was born in Wallaroo in South Australia, and that's about 200 kilometres north of Adelaide, I guess, something like that.
And in your work there, did you need to go up to Woomera, the range itself, often or at all?
It wasn't so much a matter of going up often as living there for a while. I moved to Woomera. The short story on this is that I was with Weapons Research Establishment until 1968, I guess it was, and then 1958, and then I went across to Europe for a couple of years, and then came back, and that was when I moved to Woomera itself, because the program was building up. Weapons Research Establishment needed support, and I was recently married, and I had both my children there in Woomera, so it was a great 4 years between 1964 and 1968.
So you would have seen those early Europa 1 launches?
Oh, yeah, I was there for the first F1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 was 6-1 and 6-2, they labeled it. And F7, I think that was the last launch I was at, yeah.
And actually, I think you told me that you had left for Paris by the time the F7 launch.
Yeah, I'd moved to Paris in January of 1968 and was over there getting ready for the launches out of Kourou in South America, French Guiana. In fact, I was down there in French Guiana for about 4 months coordinating launch integration work for the organization there at Kourou.
I see.
There was only one launch out of Kourou, and then that exploded after separation, and that was the end of the program, just about.
The decision to go to French Guiana, what was your take on that, as against continuing to launch out of Australia?
I think there was a sort of a combination of things, Andrew. You got to bear in mind that there was a lot of below-the-surface friction in ODO with the various member states. They thought they were paying too much, or the other state was not paying enough, that type of thing. And on top of that, it was a remote operation for all of the Europeans being in Australia. And when Eldo decided to move to French Guiana, I think it was a combination of mending the bridges on the organization itself and getting a more local control, relatively local control in French Guiana. And I think that that worked out very well as far as the countdown and coordination for down there was concerned. French Guiana was an interesting operation, but Eldo decided to draw the stage closed on that after that explosion. They didn't go any further after that.
You went actually at the Kourou for that final the launch?
Yes, I was there for the launch.
You were? Mm-hmm. And so what did you see there? Were you near the launch pad or...?
Yeah, I was with the head office, so to speak, from Paris down there, providing countdown control, coordination, making sure that they were following the documentation that we'd prepared for the launch, and making sure that there were no glitches and that any problems were being resolved quickly. And so I was providing a consultative service, if you will, from the head office, so to speak.
That was on the 5th of November of 1971.
Mm-hmm, exactly, right.
Okay, let's come back to the F-7 launch, which we're commemorating this evening because November 30 is the anniversary of that, the 50th anniversary.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. You were in Paris at the time?
I was in Paris, yeah. I left the beginning of 68, and this launch was towards the end of 68, so I was not there in Woomera anymore.
Yeah, but were you keenly following it, or
I was following the success of the... program from Paris, of course, and I thought that the program needed a sort of a boost because we hadn't had any actual orbital achievements, and this was no exception. There was no success in that one either, so that was all I remember about F7.
Yeah, what was your what was the reaction of your colleagues in Paris as that unhappy event happened?
Well, we were both disappointed in the launch not being a success. Also realized that the curtain was being drawn on the Woomera operation and being open on the stage down at Kourou in French Guiana. So I guess we're being optimistic and looking forward to a new day with a new launch pad and a new operation. So the vehicle hadn't changed that much, of course, but we're hoping that a change of venue, so to speak, was going to improve things.
In your personal view, what do you consider the achievements of Eldo were?
I think, first of all, that they pulled a sinking program that the British had with Blue Streak, which was being closed down because they didn't see any need for it, that pulled the British back into the program with the Blue Streak, which was always a steady performer all the way through all of the launches. And it also got France and Germany and Italy moving together, which is the first time after World War II that Europeans had come so close together. And they got together a launch vehicle, which was, in theory, at any rate, a perfect launch vehicle. And we had the Netherlands and the Belgians for range tracking, that type of thing, coordination. So I thought, from a European consolidation point of view, it was a good program to run and to be part of. And even though Australia was not officially part of the program anymore, we had provided all launch services and support from the Woomera launches. So, I was there as an Australian citizen, but employee of Eldo at the time.
In your view, could the Australian government have done anything to have persuaded Eldo to remain in Australia?
Well, I'm glad you asked that because I'm looking at something which I pulled off the website tonight because of this very question. 50 years later, the ministers for the Department of Industry, Innovation and Science have declared on the 1st of July of this year a start of the Australian Space Agency. And it took them 50 years to get there, Andrew, but that being said, had that been done back there in the 60s, it would have been a completely different story. Australia would have been... in the top layer of space operations, and that would have been still based in Australia, I think.
And was Australia actually a part of Eldo, or did we just simply host them?
No, it was considered to be an associate member. We were not part of the launch vehicle itself, but we were providing the launch services, all of the range coordination. We provided the test countdown support. We provided the downrange tracking and radar and all this type of thing. So everything we did was as an associate member without actually flying any part of the vehicle itself.
From your engineering standpoint, what were some of the failings of ALDO?
Well, I think language is always a barrier when you've got multinational organizations, and this is probably no exception. People would say things that would get translated into English if you're an English listener, and that translator may have not been a technical translator, and therefore what you got was not necessarily what the sender of the message meant. And so there's a lot of miscues in the organization that way for years, and I'm not sure there's any easy way around that. You know, obviously United Nations is a classic example of many nations working together, and hopefully they work well, but although I think had that as a problem, the language barrier that never really got overcome. And the other thing, of course, is that using different, in those days, using two different measurement systems, the metric system and the British system, and that sort of confused a lot of people as well. So there were two things I can think of.
Yes, this British system versus metric system is something the Americans haven't coped with very well.
I know, we got different versions of that again. Yeah. So the metric system was always a challenge for people with kilograms and meters and all that kind of stuff. Mm.
And what were your thoughts when ALDO closed up shop and Arianespace was formed?
I had already moved on in my mind, and when that was decided, I already had my plan set on moving out of Europe and moving back into the operations in best part of USA. I was a senior engineer with Kennedy Space Center on the shuttle program and program manager on the sea launch program, which was a sort of a great success, launching from a barge in the Pacific. So I was looking ahead as part of my career, and looking back on that, Andrew, it was the right decision all the way along the line. And I was doing this, bear in mind, as an Australian national, which finally required that I convert, or not convert, but adopt a dual nationality, so I'm both an American citizen and an Australian citizen. That's the way it works.
What career path led you to ALDO in the first place?
I'm glad you asked that, too, because it was one thing, and it's the thing that sticks out of my mind to this day. It was on, in October 1957, the Russians launched Sputnik. You've got to bear in mind, in those days, 1957, I was a young man, very young man, just out of college, just about. And to me, the idea of something being put into space by man was a mind-bending sort of achievement. And from that day on, I said, I got to get into space. You know, I didn't want to work in civil engineering or any of those things. I wanted to get into space. So from then on, I took all the steps necessary to get to where the space program was. And as I said earlier, the Australian government is 50 years behind. Had they had their space agency started then, I would have been in the middle of it. But there was nothing going in Australia, so I went to America and worked there on programs with a number of American companies, and never looked back. I was very, very pleased with that.
Yes, I was going to ask you about your career after ALDO. I understand you worked for Boeing.
Yep, I was a program manager for Boeing, and I was awarded an Associate Technical Fellow, which is a high achievement award given to a few people in Boeing, and I was awarded that. And towards the latter part of my career, I was managing groups of 15 to 20 people in various activities, and that never changed. You know, I was just considered to be a sort of a performer that they wanted to keep going, you know, so I did a lot of work with Boeing towards the end. And the other thing which I was very appreciative of was when I was with Boeing at Kennedy Space Center, I was working on the shuttle, and I got to meet the Neil Armstrong and shook his hand, all this type of thing, and I was the lead engineer and then finally a program project engineering integrator for the shuttle program services. So I did a lot of stuff in my career, Andrew, and I'm very pleased with everything I did.
And Rockwell International?
Rockwell International was another one. I work with them on their missions, which included space shuttle sort of program experiments in space that look very good to us as well.
And you did some work with McDonnell Douglas.
Yeah, I was a program manager with McDonnell Douglas. I had a staff of 17 there, and we're doing SRM and QA, safety, reliability, maintainability, and quality assurance analysis of space station payload processing, GSE, ground support equipment. So we did a lot of work on that aspect of space station at the time. Also followed up the space station monopropellant hydrazine propulsion module. We did a lot of work on that as well.
So looking back on your career, what would you say were some of the highlights?
Well, I would say that the fact that I never was out of a job. I always had a demand for my services, whether I was with one company or another. That as I moved on in my career, I moved more and more towards the top of the staffing, so that I became more and more a manager with staff working for me. I was an invited speaker to the NASA Space Conference in Miami a few years after I got into this whole program, and that was very rewarding to me, and I think I gave a lot of information to the attendees to the meeting. So it was a growing career, put it that way. And when I finally left for the last time, I was well over the age of working, but I enjoyed it so much, and I think my employers enjoyed me so much that they kept me going, you know. But now I'm self-employed and doing investing, this type of thing.
Do you have any funny stories or anecdotes about your ALDO experience or your time in Australia?
Well, there's a little one which is based in Woomera because it sticks in my mind to this day. I used to drive to the range from our home in Woomera every day, which is about 40 kilometers, and used to go to the launch pad for the ALDO program, and was there and did a lot of work there. And then one day I was walking around the site, because we obviously sort of kept in close control of the site to make sure it was meeting ALDO's requirements, and I was inspecting one part where we had some cameras which were used to track the launch. And one of the camera pads had been removed, and there was a hole. And so I walked over to see why there was a hole, and two things. One, the camera wasn't there, and two, there's a rabbit down the bottom of the hole. So being a nice guy, I sort of hopped in the hole and grabbed the rabbit and took it home and presented it to my wife and two kids, and I said, "We've got a pet." So we kept the rabbit in our home for 2 or 3 weeks, and he was doing fine, and the kids loved him. But after a while, I noticed the lights were flickering, and I finally figured out he was biting the insulation off of every cable we had. He liked the plastic. So I had to go back to the range, and that's what I did. I took him back and found a place where it was convenient for him to be left. So that was a little funny story that reminds me. But I got to tell you on a side here, if you want to cut it out, you can. I was with four other engineers, and we'd heard a lot about Suriname, which was the next country north of French Guiana, and so we went up there and found a native who was prepared to take us upriver in a canoe, and we went upriver in a canoe and saw pythons hanging out of the branches, all this type of thing, and then got to a village, and there was about a dozen kids came running down, plus a couple of other adults, and I asked the guy, "Well, what are all the children doing here?" And they said it was his. And I said, "What do you mean his?" The head of the village, he had no television, so I was having kids, so that was a fun thing there. But so there you have a background of what I've done and the ALDO involvement.
Well, thank you for joining us, Malcolm, on the Space Show.
Okay.